This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Today, Alex Jones is back on X, and if you ask the left, the world is now ending, and abortion may be heading to the Supreme Court once again. We will get into that and much more, and it all starts right now. Welcome to the News and Why It Matters. Happy Monday. I am Sarah Gonzalez, and I am joined today, his first time on the program, we have Chris Bray. He is a writer whose work you can find over at Substack. It is chrisbray.substack.com. Happy to have you here along for the ride. Also joining us, Logan Hall. He is, of course, the Blaze Media digital strategist. And quite a good job you've been doing lately, Logan.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. I was like, man, our Twitter, Blaze Twitter is now like super based. It's Logan. It must be Logan. So happy that you're handling things now. So, okay, I want to start with over the weekend. Interestingly, there was a kind of a turn of events on, I always say Twitter. Can I just say Twitter?
You can say Twitter.
I don't like saying X. There was a kind of an interesting turn of events on Twitter as Elon Musk reinstated the social media account of Alex Jones. This was, I believe it was Saturday that it happened. But he had been banned for 5 years from Twitter. I don't think most people know how long he had been banned. So he had actually asked on his Twitter account, reinstate Alex Jones on this platform. And what is that? Overwhelmingly, 70% of the people said yes. And he followed up with a tweet that said, the people have spoken and so it shall be. Now, this came after Tucker Carlson dropped an interview with Alex Jones that he released on Twitter, in which they discussed a whole bunch of different things. I highly recommend going over to watch it. But I want to play a couple of clips here from the Alex Jones-Tucker conversation. So let's play Alex Jones. This has been a topic that Tucker Carlson himself has touched on, which is he interviewed Trump and he's like, aren't you concerned that like you're going to be assassinated? Like he kept saying like, yeah, but what if they try to kill you? And so Alex Jones was talking about the deep state potentially killing, I don't know, a whole myriad of different presidents. Here's that.
You look at the trajectory of this, how they're escalating on Trump, whether you love him or hate him. He's now a populist icon. He's now the underdog. The globalists are coming after him. They're coming after our right to vote for who we want. He gets 60% against
which is the fundamental right in a democracy. The people rule. I can vote for whomever I want. And if you don't like that person, that's immaterial.
Absolutely.
Right?
And he's been indicted for saying they're stealing elections. They're stealing it.
I'm aware.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
In their indictments of him is
absolutely
election theft. But yes.
So. But despite that, he's got 60% against all other Republicans. He's 15, 20 points ahead of Biden. It's backfired. But the deep state's not going to stop. So you said to Trump several times in that 400 million views or whatever you got, biggest show ever, you know, you said to him, well, isn't the next thing them trying to kill you? And he's so confident, he doesn't want to think about that. And I admire someone that's that confident, the deep state does kill people. And that's their only next move because this is failing. And I think they're going to kill Biden too. Or I think they're going to try to, what you said in a speech again before the last one I talked about like a month ago, you said, I don't see Biden and Trump being the candidates. You see the system, the media going after Biden, and he deserves it, but they were covering it up until now. Now they're covering the laptop. Now they're covering attack on the dog. Now they're covering, all of his senility, all the corruption, the Chinese spies.
Attacking a dog. What a pig he is.
No, he went on. I wish that we had this part here, because he went on to talk about Alex Jones as saying, I have some sources within the Biden administration who are telling me that Joe Biden walks around the White House naked. like he's wandering. This is the picture that I got. Okay. Joe Biden aimlessly wandering around the different rooms of the White House, perhaps unsure where he is, what time it is, any details of the day. And in the morning, he said they give him amphetamines to amp him up, which I completely believe, by the way. I'd love to get your thoughts on this gentleman. And then by the evening, they've got to give him drugs to slow him down, get him to sleep, and then they do it all over again the next day, to which Tucker Carlson responded that he had a friend who, I believe he said it was in the Secret Service, but he had a friend who has physically seen them give Joe Biden amphetamines. I don't know that there's any other way that this guy is ever coherent, because it seems to be that you can tell the difference on the days that he gets the amphetamines and the days that he doesn't. I mean, there's a huge difference.
Why was Joe Biden the amphetamine?
Right. I mean, there was a comedian, I don't want to take credit for it, but whichever comedian said that he was President Roomba because he's just kind of shuffling and hitting the walls and recalibrating and hitting the wall again and recalibrating.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, did you ever think that you would live in a time where you heard something like this? A rumor, okay, allegedly. But you heard something like this about a president of the United States, and you were like, I believe that.
Well, God forbid. I mean, can you imagine another 4 years of this? Apparently, Biden's running again.
Right.
What kind of cocktails are they going to have for him at that point? Mm-hmm. Who knows? I think... Yeah, you can definitely see a scenario where the deep state would take out Trump because he's their target, public enemy number one right now. I think it's a little more questionable that they would use these same tactics against Biden.
Yeah.
I don't know if they would. Maybe if they're desperate and they see, well, he, you know, nobody thinks he's actually there. His approval ratings are in the tank. He's ruining the country. Mm-hmm. Maybe they can be that brazen if they feel like they can wield all of that power at once. I don't know. We'll see. But I think we've got an exciting election year coming up.
Yeah.
We won't know what's going to happen.
It seems like, Chris, if they wanted to cast a Biden aside, they could just, I don't know, stop doping him up. Like, just stop giving him the amphetamines. Like, just stop. Just let him be him. And everyone's going to be like, yeah, we reject that.
If you get into August, he wins all the primaries. He wins the Iowa caucuses. He gets to the convention. And suddenly he gets very sick.
Mm-hmm.
Then whoever steps in hasn't been out campaigning, hasn't been beaten up, hasn't spent money. And whoever that turns out to be, Gavin Newsom, with Hillary Clinton shaking her fist in the corner because it's not her, will have tremendous advantage that I can't imagine. Joe Biden was walking around a fire station over the weekend.
Right.
Watching him do his robot walk. How does he do that? But I will point out, Alex Jones is back on Twitter, and already America is thinking about Joe Biden naked, which I think is the kind of rhetoric that I didn't need and don't ever want back.
Yeah, I know. I was like, Joe Biden walking around naked, not something that I wanted to visualize. But now that I am, I completely believe it.
Yeah.
So I thought that this was fascinating with Alex Jones. And we can get into the advertisers and the blowback from the left, who's just like, oh my God, we're all going to die. But I do want to play Alex Jones. Control, how long is Alex Jones says why he was banned on Twitter? It doesn't say. Okay. So let's go ahead. I don't want to play that. I want to play Alex Jones went in his interview, referenced the moment that he says got him banned from Twitter. And I want to play that. This is Alex Jones confronting CNN reporter Oliver Darcy outside of a congressional hearing. Watch.
Look at this right here. The guy that goes around policing and calling for censorship and then claims that Trump's wrong, there's no censorship of conservatives or patriots. You are incredibly shameful.
How are you doing, Alex?
You're just you are literally an anti-American, anti-free speech coward. You're gonna go down the history books at the Criminal News Network. This is one of the main people right here who thinks you have no memory, who sits there and lobbies. Show him. It sits there and lobbies people to take other news off, claiming they're fake when CNN is the fakest WMD,
Gulf Arab state dictatorship funded. Unbelievable.
Show me the lie.
Yes.
Okay, so apparently that was abusive. And of course, shortly after that, Twitter permanently banned Alex Jones and InfoWars. The InfoWars account was banned too. And of course, they cited abuse. Is it abuse if it's true? I don't, it doesn't count as abuse if it's true.
Absolutely not. Corporate media journalists really are on like a lower moral level than prostitutes. They are beneath prostitutes because at least prostitutes are doing honest work, right? As our colleague Orrin McIntyre says, he says, you think you hate journalists enough, you don't.
Yeah, you don't.
You do not. You have to understand what the press's role is in our modern democracy. It's to manipulate the public. Mm-hmm. It's to put out state propaganda and silence and censor the opposition. And this is why it's such a big deal for what Elon is doing right now, because back pre-Elon Twitter, a journalist like Oliver Darcy or any of these other CNN hacks could just put in a request to their buddies at Twitter and say, hey, I want this person banned because they were mean to me, or they're replying learn to code to me. Now, you see how upset they are. Oliver Darcy was melting down on like the Instagram's threads the other day because suddenly Alex Jones is allowed back on Twitter. The number one thing that they hate and are afraid of is free speech. Mm-hmm. They cannot stand it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. By the way, I want to get your thoughts, Chris. I would like to take this opportunity to point out that you're not watching this on YouTube right now.
Yes, exactly.
Because of that very reason, I got a strike for asking questions about the transgender community. And you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to ask questions. You're not allowed to ask, how can you be both non-binary and transgender? You can't ask these questions. They don't want you asking the questions, to your point, Logan. Sorry, continue, Chris.
David Burge said that who is on Twitter's Iowa Hawk, says that the job of the mainstream news media is to cover the really important stories with a pillow until they stop moving. But the whole question of what gets people thrown off Twitter, and people come back to Twitter after they've been thrown off, and there's, you know, the concern trolling about, my God, this person is coming back after all the lies he spread. I always think about Alex Berenson, who was thrown off Twitter. Mm-hmm. His final strike was, he said, the mRNA vaccines for COVID don't prevent infection or transmission.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Which the CDC director was repeating as well.
I had already said by that point. So all the things that are horrible, horrible, horrible lies that get you thrown off Twitter when you come back, like, it's always been true. Like, what if we just talk to each other? And if you don't like what I said, you can argue with it. But. Mm-hmm. Alex Jones will be just fine.
Oh, yeah. These people aren't interested in argument or good faith debate or anything like that. I saw Elon agreed with a post the other day. It said if we're banning conspiracy theorists from Twitter, the very first people are going to have to go are CNN, New York Times, Washington mm-hmm. Post, and mm-hmm. all these other places. Mm-hmm. It's 100% true. These organizations are anti-American filth. They don't exist to hold the powerful accountable. They exist to hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. Someone who doesn't have the speakerphone, they hate that you can. Twitter is a great leveler, and that's what they don't like.
Yeah,
being held responsible or accountable at all.
Well, and I think so. What I want to do is, after the break, I want to get into kind of the advertiser portion and the leftist meltdown. But I mean, I do think that it is so fascinating to watch this play out, because for so long, I think conservatives dug their heads in the sand a little bit and just allowed the leftists to take over all of these institutions, take over all of these social media platforms, build all of these different platforms, take over the higher education, and didn't think far enough down the line of where that would lead. And then you have conservatives getting banned from, you have the president of the United States getting banned off of one of the top social media platforms.
Well, he got banned like all of them.
You're right. He's only welcome back on X, on Twitter, but he got banned from all of them for something that they claimed that he did that he didn't do. Right? I mean, he very clearly said, peacefully and patriotically, go make your voices heard. And that somehow is an incitement of violence. And so it really is so important for conservatives to understand the significance and the value in making sure we are building stuff like that too, which is, again, you're not watching this on YouTube, so I can very freely tell you, thanks for watching on Blaze TV. If you are watching on Blaze TV, I guess we've got some Pluto watchers as well, and those of you listening on audio podcast. But that is the reason that we ask you guys to subscribe to Blaze TV, because these people are looking for a reason to ruin your life.
Yes. Yes.
Like, they want to ruin all of our lives. Why did they sue Alex Jones into oblivion? They didn't do it because they really thought that he had the however many billion dollars that he had, and they thought
billion,
yeah, $900 billion that they thought that he had, that they really thought would help all of these Sandy Hook families. That's not why they did it. They did it to make an example of him, so that you stop sharing your opinion because you might say something that might be a little conservative that you might then share with your friend. Oh no, and then you might turn another person into conservative, and we don't want that. We don't want that. So let's get back into this after the break, but I want to go ahead and thank our sponsor here. This is Birch Gold. So look, I recommend at least talking to Birch Gold, okay? They are the specialists here, but I'm thinking maybe you could diversify your savings with physical precious metals. You can stockpile silver in your home safe. Historically, that has been the best hedge against inflation, and we are living in Joe Biden's America. So
yes, we are.
It's not going well right now when it comes to inflation.
We fixed it, man. Yeah, we fixed the inflation. Right.
Bidenomics. Hey. So it is Birch Gold Group's most popular special of the year now through December 22nd, so time is running out. But for every $5,000 you spend with Birch Gold, they're going to send you a 1 ounce silver eagle coin for free. You can text the word Y to 989898 to claim your eligibility right now. You can purchase gold and silver, have it shipped directly to your home, or you can have their specialists help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax sheltered IRA in gold. No money out of pocket you're going to spend, and they're going to still send you free silver for every $5,000 purchase that you make. Go talk to them. I did. My family does business with Birch Gold. I highly suggest that you get the information from them. You can do that by texting the word Y to 989898. So as I was saying, there were many salty liberal tears shed over the weekend with
Yummy.
Alex Jones. Oh, just delicious. Over the weekend when Alex Jones was reinstated, here's a New York Post headline. Pierce Morgan wrote an op-ed. Elon Musk couldn't be more wrong about Alex Jones. He's not a free speech hero. He's a hate speech monster.
Bum, bum,
bum. Oh, no. And then there's some civil rights lawyer, former president of the NAACP, Sherilyn Eiffel, who did this. I love when these people they make these big announcements on X. This is like multi-posts of just like this eloquently, oh, I took this beautiful gift as a sign last night, blah, 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 blah. Alex Jones tortured these Sandy Hook families, blah, he monstrously led a campaign of gaslighting and assault on the spirit of Sandy Hook families, desecrated the memory of those murdered children. He's a ghoul. His return to the site completes its utter degradation. We are in a war for the human soul, says the party that likes to castrate children. I just like to make that clear. And then there is, of course, David Levitt, who is a mainstream media journalist. I want to find his Twitter bio as we're talking about him, because he's one of those journalists who find himself to be so self-important. I know he's written for CBS previously as well. No, go back to that other one. He said, how many innocent people will be murdered because Elon Musk allowed Alex Jones back on Twitter? Which I thought was...
I did respond to that. And my
I
response,
thought it was
of course,
joke.
Was at least a trillion.
I mean, I legitimately had to go back and be like, is this a joke? I don't even know. That's how bad it's gotten. I'm like, roll the dice. Could be either way with these people. I don't know. He seemed to be serious in his responses, but here's his bio. Award-winning multimedia journalist. The smile I added, the smile wasn't in his bio. But it's like, are you really?
Ugh, barf. I mean, it is like a parody, but it's not a joke. That's what these people really believe. They believe that left-wing violence is speech and right-wing speech is violence. Mm-hmm. Left-wing terrorism is patriotism. Right-wing patriotism is terrorism. So you have to get in the mind of how they view these things, and free speech coming from the right, they know they cannot win on a level playing field, which is why they're so freaked out, because mm-hmm. they've had an uneven playing field for years now, probably at least 10 years. They've had a total monopoly over what's allowed to be said on the internet politically. Mm-hmm. And so they're very scared. And I admire, salute to Elon Musk for, I mean, he's definitely ruffling some feathers with the regime right now, and I hope he emerges victorious. We'll see.
The remarkable thing about this language is that this is not an election year. They have to crescendo through the election. They have to get louder and more vicious and more crazy through the election. This is an off year, and all disagreement is literally slaughtering all of the children.
Already.
So where do you go from that? It's like when you take acting classes, they tell you they, you know, don't start the scene screaming because you have nowhere to build. Mm. What do you build from this?
That's a great point.
What is the election? I think the election year is going to make us all absolutely out of our minds crazy because it's going to be, I've been there for a long time. Because this everything is screaming, everything is murder, all disagreement is literally the most horrible thing ever. It's tedious every single day. I wake up every single day and look at the news and go, and we've got another year of it to go.
Yeah.
How? Yeah. Where does it go?
And if you, like, fine, Alex Jones gets some things wrong, but if you look at what is acceptable in the press, the amount of lies and straight-up hoaxes that they push on the American people, it's nothing. Like, it's massively disproportionate what the mainstream press pushes on America versus what something like Alex Jones says that offends somebody.
I agree.
Lockdowns are reasonable. COVID vaccines are
safe.
School closures can't possibly harm children. Alex Jones is a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah. I want to throw that tweet back up.
Throw it up, literally. Ideally.
Award-winning multimedia journalist has quite a few emojis in his name. I just wanted to, you know, he's so serious, such a serious business journalist. He has dice, video game controller, I don't know if he's identifying as a wizard. Is there a gender that is like wizard? I don't know. And then, of course, the rainbow flag.
Wizard lives matter, Sarah. Right?
Just in case you were wondering what a serious business journalist he was. So obviously the Washington Post is trying to, you know, create this big picture like, oh my gosh, advertisers are fleeing from Musk's X. As advertisers flee Musk's X, which again, Twitter sounds much better, Elon. Democrats splurge on political ads. And so it's fascinating because they're trying to make the point that, listen, there are a whole bunch of advertisers who are going to take Twitter down. It's just not the Democrats that are running for office because they've spent over $1 million to run thousands of political ads on X, which I don't know why they would profit off of this terrorist propaganda, but somehow Elon is still getting the bills paid, I guess, for now.
If you remember back when Elon first took over Twitter, there was a huge concerted effort on behalf of the media to say, Twitter's going to be dead within a week. He won't be able to handle it. It's all going to be gone. Like, good luck. We'll see you over on Threads with Zuckerberg. That never happened. So I think they're trying to do the same thing here. They're trying to pressure. Again, the left is much better at boycotting causes that they don't like than the right is.
Yes. And
Elon seems to be withstanding the pressure for now, but we've got to make sure that we still hold the media's feet to the fire because these people are vicious and ruthless, and they want to see Elon and Twitter destroyed so that we can't speak to them.
Yeah. But the little yapping lapdog nature of this attack, it goes on every single week after Elon Musk's GFY moment. Let us euphemize. Mm-hmm. The San Francisco Chronicle ran a story that said, like, that's it. He's done.
Yep. Oh.
SpaceX, Tesla, it's all ruined now. And it won't be. And then in a month, someone else will write a story that says, Elon Musk is ruined. And then he won't be. And then in another month, someone will write a story that says, Elon Musk is ruined. So they're getting louder and louder and louder and less and less and less effective. It's becoming more and more meaningless. Why are Democrats advertising on Twitter? Because there's an audience there.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they know they reach people.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to advertise here, GFY, okay.
Right.
There is an audience here. He's failing because everybody's listening to him. It's fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
And they bark and bark and bark at it. Mm-hmm. And the impotence alongside the hysteria is becoming really fascinating. Mm-hmm. The targets they choose to go after the hardest aren't ruined.
Well, they actually, and they turn them into martyrs. Yeah. This is the same thing with Tucker and Trump.
Right.
They only get bigger because they have an audience, and they see if this is their number one designated opponent or target that they want to go after and silence, then we're just going to amplify them more.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a good healthy reaction on our side too. The powers that be.
There's a thing that might happen next year, in which. Someone who's been public enemy number one, who's going to be the target mm-hmm. of the largest tidal wave of hysterical vomit that we've ever seen in our national history, he could do okay and actually, and what then? What does it tell you about the news media if they spend years and years and years saying, this person is literally Adolf Hitler,
yeah.
and people go, no, just shut up.
Yeah.
What is, the louder they get, the less anyone listens.
You're right.
And it's becoming a death cycle.
Yeah, you're right. By the way, he kept saying GFY. Where is my swear jar?
Right?
Well, I have
a swear
jar.
That does not count.
No, it doesn't, but it made me think. I was going to say, you can just say it. We have a
Where is my swear jar?
Here, but
where is my swear jar and my money? I want my monies, okay?
I have dollar bills.
Maybe we'll look.
Let's get
started. No, we have some. Yeah, let's do it. Okay, so we're going to look for the swear jar during this break, but first we want to thank our sponsor, Eden Pure. So if you have odors in your homes that you just, you know, maybe can't get rid of, which doesn't, look, I'm not judging you as a person, okay? Because you wouldn't know all the smells that I would have to deal with at my home if it wasn't for my Eden Pure, okay? Because I have a husband and I have two boys, one of whom is going through puberty. I also have two dogs and two cats who have a litter box. And honestly, the least stinky individual in my home other than me is our leopard gecko. To be quite honest. But all I'm saying is we have thunderstorm air purifiers all around our house, and it smells great because the thunderstorm starts working within seconds after you plug it in to clear the room of any odor, and they don't have any costly filters to replace. It's just a dial that you turn from minimum to maximum depending on what kind of protection you need.
Mm.
By the way, it does work on skunk smell.
Wow.
I'm not even going to get into how I know that. But we use it. They've got a ton of 5-star reviews online, a lot of which are from this audience as well. So make sure, now's the time, it's Christmas season, give your wife the gift of clean air. Right now you can save $200 on 3 thunderstorms for whole home protection. That is 3 units for under $200 over at EdenPureDeals.com. Enter discount code Sarah. There's no H in that, by the way. It's not Sarah. It's just Sarah, okay? EdenPureDeals.com, discount code Sarah.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Well, I found the swear jar. We found it.
Luckily.
Okay, hold on. I am lodging an official HR complaint, okay? To the HR department, who I'm sure doesn't watch this program, so I'm gonna have to go and send it officially in an email too. But my point is, someone stole my money. And that was a lot of, I mean.
Yeah, it was.
Thank you. They were sitting here, there were stacks of them.
What did you say when you realized it had been stolen?
I
did you say oh,
I said go yourself and I don't have any money to put in here because someone stole my money. So whoever stole my money, which was a lot, I work very hard for my money. That's why I had a bunch of $10,000 rolls just stacked up here like a rapper in a music video, okay? So if you could kindly return my money, I have to curse. Thank you. We now resume your regular programming.
Darn.
Public service announcement.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move over to this abortion. Can anyone tell that I'm just ready to leave for the holidays?
Yes.
Can you tell? I'm a little burnt out.
Have you, in a sense, kind of left already?
I'm already out the door, honestly, Chris. And if I'm also being honest, it's mostly what you were talking about in an earlier segment of just like, we have to deal with this level of hysterical, antics in December of 2023, I'm not sure, I might just quit. I don't know.
The title of the very last thing that I wrote on Substack was shut up, 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 because I can't anymore.
I think that's perfect.
Yeah.
I think you said it really perfectly there. Okay, so let's move over to the topic of abortion. So this is, you know, a little under 2 year post-Dobbs, the Supreme Court is now set to take on another major abortion case, this time from Idaho. And the DOJ is arguing in its lawsuit now that the Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act requires doctors to not turn away patients in need of emergency stabilizing care. I'm going to use that in quotes. Okay, emergency stabilizing care, which it says includes abortions, but Idaho, of course, their argument is the law already includes provisions for doctors to perform the procedure to save the life of the mother. In fact, that's a common misconception that the left uses all the time, and quite effectively, I might add, because women apparently don't like to go look up for themselves whether or not that's true. And so, you know, you go to any, I cannot think of one state, can you gentlemen think of one state that if they have a pro-life law on the books, that it does not exempt for the life of the mother? I can't think of one.
No, nor can I think of a doctor who would, think of a doctor who would ever say, I was bleed to death.
Right, exactly. I mean, unless they were a doctor who was just looking for some sort of, you know, social, cultural change, in which case, I don't suggest going to that doctor. In fact, I would say you should probably leave them a really nasty Yelp review, if that's the case. Well, I mean, if you're alive to do it. But so it's been fascinating. This is, so Elena Kagan, this has gone to. Justice Elena Kagan will decide, like, any day now on the emergency petition for this abortion case from Idaho. And if they do, we get to do this all over again. Are you guys excited?
Really, really excited. I mean, this is one of the left's biggest losses in recent years was overturning Roe v. Wade. So they are rabid on this issue heading into not just 2024, but they used this messaging in 2022 and some of these local state races. They don't have anything to run on. They can't run on the economy. They can't run on helping the American people. They can't run on foreign policy. They can't run on domestic policy. So they're just going to scream at the top of their lungs, you need the right to kill your own baby, or we're going to go back into some Handmaid's Tale. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really all they have.
It is.
So this is, I would expect the hysteria to, kind of to Chris's point, to ramp up. I don't think they're going to just take this defeat and walk away. I think they are very rabid and radicalized on this issue.
I agree. Chris.
Doris Kearns Goodwin gave a speech at Gettysburg, on the battlefield at Gettysburg National Park. And she talked about, you know, what the men fighting at Gettysburg had been fighting for. And she said they were fighting for marriage equality.
Really?
Yes, she did. You should look that up. An extraordinary speech.
I'm just saying historically, I wasn't aware of that.
C-SPAN cut to the audience going, the discovery of, you know, actually the 14th Amendment meant this, actually Gettysburg mm-hmm. meant this, the discovery mm-hmm. of, oh, actually EMTALA, the emergency medicine, it was always all about abortion.
Right.
Like, when we passed it, we didn't say that, but what we meant was, mm-hmm. like they were crossing their fingers under the table that it was really an abortion bill, and they just forgot to say it.
Right.
So we keep discovering, or this is the single most common, most powerful left-wing tactic in America today is lawfare and relitigating things that have been settled and discovering new meanings and things mm-hmm. that you've been talking about for 20 years or 100 years or 200 years. Oh, actually what that always meant was...
Yeah. I heard revision. That the American Revolution was fought over marriage equality.
It was actually fought for trans children.
That's a great point. Like, we want the right to chop off our children's breasts. Damn it, we're fighting.
Dylan Mulvaney was at Lexington.
Really?
Concord, yes.
Wow. Golly, the things you learn here on
the show. Actually, George Washington was trans himself. I saw a really good tweet after some of the recent local elections, and it said, progressive women would rather crash the economy and start World War III than stop aborting their children.
And stop killing their babies in the womb.
I think that's pretty accurate.
It really is.
That's how sacred this is to them.
It really is. And look, I understand, you know, there's ectopic pregnancies and some other nasty things that you really would need to talk about saving the life of the mother. That wasn't going to work out anyway, though, if it's ectopic. But it's fascinating. I know I'm very excited to talk about our sponsor this segment because it ties in perfectly. But it just kills me whenever the left tries to make the argument that there is such thing as a necessary, life-saving, late-term abortion. Like, it doesn't, in all instances, it is much quicker. If there is some sort of medical emergency, it is much quicker to take the woman to get an emergency C-section, and then the baby is, you know, alive. That is a much quicker process than all of the different things that they have to do in a late-term abortion to go ahead and kill the baby and, like, stab something into its brain or stop its heart or whatever method that they're using. That takes a lot more time than an emergency C-section. So that's a lie that the left feeds you all the time. I just want people to do their own homework and understand that. It's just a blatant lie. All right, so speaking of abortion, we want to thank our sponsor this segment, Preborn. You guys have probably heard me talk about Preborn here on this program. I am very proud to partner with Preborn because what they are doing is they are rescuing. Actually, they've rescued with their organization over 270,000 babies, and they're doing that because Preborn's network of clinics that they have, they're putting their clinics right next to these abortion clinics. And these women are scared. They're going in there. They're like, I've been told that I can't do this by myself. I don't have any help. I don't have any financial help. I can't do this. And the left is telling them, it's fine because it's just a clump of cells. Well, what Preborn is doing is they are actually giving women a free ultrasound. And once she meets her baby for the first time on that screen, or she hears her baby's heartbeat, you guys know this if you're parents, it is life-changing, and her baby's chance at life is doubled. So for just $28, you can actually save a life. And right now they're doing a match. Your tax-deductible gift can be doubled as well. And because Preborn supports both mothers and babies with diapers, car seats, counseling, and more for up to 2 years, you're offering actually double the blessings. So now, through the end of the year, look, people are trying to figure out where am I going to give that tax-deductible donation. I would argue there's no better cause than Preborn. So you can go to preborn.com/Sarah, or you can you dial #250, say the keyword baby, but it is preborn.com/Sarah. Okay, I wanna read some of this article here. This is on thedailymail.com. How fat pride became the new battleground in America's culture wars. 1 in 6 U.S. deaths linked to obesity, but liberal states are banning fat phobia with discrimination laws. And it has been very interesting to see, across America, politicians have been planning to add laws to add a person's weight to the list of characteristics such as race, age, religion, and sexual orientation that are protected from discrimination. It goes through some of these states. But I just find it fascinating that now we are supposed to accept, again, I'm not trying to fat shame. I'm sure not everyone. If I'm just going by United States statistics, there are people who watch this program who are, in fact, obese. And that's totally fine. But I'm just saying, like, if you are trying to be a flight attendant, can airlines then not be able to say, well, you can't fit through the aisle, but we have to allow you to be a flight attendant because we can't discriminate? I mean, how far are we going to take this here?
Your
are we going to let...
carry-on bag has to fit.
So does your ass.
So does your ass.
Okay. How far are we going to go? Because then are we going to say, well, Gold's Gym, is there still Gold's Gym? Gold 24-hour fitness can't, you know, they might get sued if they don't allow that 600-pound woman to be a trainer, a personal trainer. I mean, how far are we going to take this before we say, you do you, boo, but, like, perhaps there are some jobs that you're just not qualified for. Is this going to extend to the military that now there's going to be no, I mean, that's discriminatory, right? It's discriminatory to say someone can't do the same things that all of the fit military members can do. So maybe we should just let 600-pounders go on the front lines. I mean, how far are we willing to take this fairy tale that there's no differences, A, and that, B, it's some sort of trait that you were born with?
Yeah, you raised some very interesting questions, Sarah. The problem is that there will be no stopping. They're always in a state of permanent revolution. They're always normalizing things that don't necessarily or even should be normalized. Mm-hmm. We should start stigmatizing things as a culture again. I was watching a movie last night, actually, from the 80s, and it struck me, they showed a shot of the beach, and it struck me just how in shape the public was back then. It was not like this culture we have now where we are just like, this is healthy, body positivity, all of this, all of these degenerative things that are ultimately suicidal that we're encouraging people to do.
Well, not only that, I mean, I did say, Chris, you know, you do you. There is also an argument I could make that all of these obesity-related problems are, we're all sharing the cost of that when it comes to people's health costs, health care costs, and health insurance costs.
I take it to a different place because I live in Los Angeles, and there's one thing that's always on my head, and it's the chasm between what's real and what we say about it and how we talk about it, and saying, well, you know, if you're 600 pounds, that's we don't want to be fatphobic. It reminds me of the growth in the numbers of people who are dying on the streets in Los Angeles. About 10 years ago, we lost about 1,000 homeless people. You're dying on the streets, found dead in their tents on the sidewalk, and it grows every year. And now we're at about 2,000 human beings in one county in America who die homeless on the street every night. And what we've done about it, or not every night, but every year.
Wow, that's a real problem.
Yes, we're working on it, though. Give us time.
Yeah.
2,000 people dying in the streets every year, and what we've done about it is we don't say homeless anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We say these are our temporarily unhoused neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
So we think that all of these problems that live in reality, all of these problems that have to do with things that really exist in the world, can be solved by language, can be solved by softening the language about them, and it never works. But if we are going to stigmatize things, I think we should start by stigmatizing swear.
That's fair.
Okay.
Okay. That'll be $100.
Wait. So we're not allowed to swear, or we are?
We are, but I think we have to pay for it. I think that's the stigma, is that you lose.
I did owe it. You didn't, because you
lose some money.
Well, no,
and
you said. So here, that's one for you. I may have said it twice. And here's a tip for Christmas. Okay, that's a little Christmas tip for you. But it is true, and you know, I was thinking about this the other day, that I don't have a fat doctor, but would you go to a doctor who is obese themselves? Because I was thinking about different professions, and I was thinking, like, there are way too many coaches in, you know, schools these days. And I'm talking about, like, public, you know, local schools, not, I don't know about, you know, college, but, like, who are just very, very obese, who are supposed to be teaching your kids physical education. And then I was thinking, I don't think I'd go to an obese doctor.
I think the only professional that I, like, across public life that I would trust who is fat would be Santa Claus. I think that's about it. I think aside from that, I'm not really going to go to them.
I think we have
help.
To make an exception for chefs.
Yes.
That's a great point, which by the way brings me, I know we got to go to break in a second here, but brings me to my other random thought when I was thinking about obesity, which was Chef Gruel on Twitter. Yeah. Is not fat, and I don't understand why, because he posts the most, like,
delicious
foods that look like they have to be very high in calories. He does not, you know, it looks like there's a lot of butter and delicious things involved. And he and his wife are so trim and fit, and I'm like, how does that happen? I only can come to the conclusion that he must not eat his own food. Or maybe just a tasting bite, and that's it, and then he cuts himself off. All right, we gotta go in and take a quick break. We'll be back. All right, to end the show here, we're going to play a clip of Joe Biden. Apparently, he was scheduled to talk about investing in America during a speech in Las Vegas, but then they had just had a shooting at UNLV, and so he decided to pivot, which Joe Biden should never do. And I want to play for you Joe Biden with, you know, another dose of word salad. Watch.
The idea, if you were driving your automobile here, and you left in the key in the parking lot. You left the key in the ignition, and a kid came up and jumped in and stole it, and they got in a crash. You're liable civilly. Why in God's name do people not have to lock up their firearms? Why is that not a requirement?
Why are you yelling at us?
All these mass murders, not this weekend, but have been because people have picked up kids and grabbed stuff off of counters, off of the. Anyway, I don't want to get back. We need to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines.
My favorite thing is when he realizes he's not making any sense and he always goes, anyway.
He realizes he doesn't remember the beginning of the sentence that he's in.
Anyway. And you're like, oh, that's your bailout.
There was a report out recently, I think it was Saturday, somewhere over the weekend, where Hillary Clinton is going to be play a big role in Biden's campaign.
I saw that. Oh, no. She's back.
Something to look for.
Like herpes. She never fully goes away. Everyone check out Chris's Substack. Thank you for being here. You too, Logan, of course.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.